Yo se la toque. Dona Nescoreto a Bala Sovecha. Yes, sir. Nasu has it. There's a power in worship. A lot of power. If it's applied when something insists on not going the right direction, it's even more powerful. The devil thinks he's going to have the best and going to get you. It's even more powerful. A little lady was praying and worshiping, just worshiping. A guy come up with the gun and he's going to take her purse and her money. She said, "Go ahead, sonny, if you can." That's when he found out he couldn't move. Then after a while, the only thing that moved was his mouth, and he's begging her to let him go. I think she got him saved before she'd let him go.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah, especially applying it when he doesn't want you to. And God particularly loves it when you just approached Him just because He loves you.
Yes.
And that you're saying, "It's my turn. I know that you love me, but it's my turn. Let me tell you how much I love you." And He likes that. I consider giving a kind of worship. And it's the most unusual thing. Paul used it that when the Jews was having a drought, and you know, he could have called it to heaven. He could have prayed to heaven to break the drought and things. But no, he went to the Gentiles because there was an issue kind of between the church and the Gentiles. Anyway, he went to the Gentiles and he received this offering for the Jews during the drought. So it helped him teach and repair the issues that were between the two. But money is a medium of exchange. And I can turn a car into it, a whole car, and then put it in my pocket. I need the car out, I take something out that was powerful as the car. My driver's license. And get me another one if I want it. So the medium exchange has its power. And when you use that, when you use that power. Now, there's some preachers that give receiving offerings or anything to do with it, something, the bad name. And I don't mean from not receiving them. From receiving them. In Brazil, it's really bad at times because they know how prone the people are to penance. When you include your giving, how much they should give, as the Pentecostal ones will take advantage of that. You know, and you really have to give really till it hurts. You know, they take advantage of that kind of thing. But to give, I mean, to have all that power stored up and know that you're going to put it into some hands, it's going to take that power and use it to cancel people's debts, which is the sin question, and get them born again. Brother Jones can't call that not an exchange of power. See, it is. When you start looking at it like, I take 1,000 laborers, and they could work for a year and then give me their paychecks, and I could go overseas and turn it loose and get 1,500 laborers to do as much as they did here because they turned it into the medium of exchange and I took it with me. So when I opened it up, I got all that work done because all that work went into it. Now you have that power sitting there on the other side, see? It's how it's used. But don't think for a moment that in His plan that your giving isn't a holy thing to Him and something that you should worship God for. and be as just glad as you can be that you can be part of it because of His promises to you. I don't take anything He says anymore with a grain of salt. See, nothing. When this guy, he had patches on knees and coat and stuff. I didn't know they made them that way. He came and brought his little elderly mother, really, really sick. She had shingles, and she's in a lot of pain. And I was really kind of new at it, but the Lord healed her. That was, I said, almost what? The pain's gone. Oh, what? That's when I had my 1958 Chevrolet Impala that had 150,000 on it, and they wasn't high mileage prone. It smoked a lot after that. I tried to break it from it, but it smoked a lot. That was the car I got stopped 5 or 6 times in a 150-mile trip. They wanted to know what that cloud was doing on the road. And when I walked off my job, the guys at the brake shack where we'd go and they'd smoke and I'd watch them.
They said, "You mean to tell me smoking's going to send me to hell?"
I said, "No, sir. It just makes you smell like you've been there." When I gave my notice, they all just laughed and "You'll be back. I will have a job for you waiting. You'll be back." I said, "No, I won't. I won't." So this little woman gets healed. Shingles. He was so amazed. He says, "Oh, is there anything I can do for you?" And I'm looking at his clothes and thinking, "No." "What do you need anything?" And that's, "No, sir. I don't confess lack. I have no need for nothing. I got that list, I'll never confess lack again." "Did you do anything?" I said, "No. Thank you." He followed me out and saw my car. When I seen the way he looked, when I left meetings after that, I had 2 more meetings after that in that car. And the preacher wanted to walk me outside. I'd say, "No, thanks." I'd preach a little prosperity. He hates to stay in the church. So the next day, he couldn't take it. He just couldn't take it. And he says, "Look, I'm asking you again. Is there anything that you could use? You don't have a need, but is there anything that you can use? Or what have you been believing for?" I said, "Oh, did you see my car?" "Yes, I did." I said, "Really, you want me to tell you?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "I was believing for a Volkswagen van." And he says, "Meet me at town tomorrow." That was Eugene, Oregon. It was there I found out he owned that entire night trucking company. Long haul night trucks. We went inside. I looked around and the most beautiful model, of course, was on the showroom floor. Took him about 10 minutes to get it out and move stuff. "I want that one." Then he took me over to the counter, got my name and everything. And I thought, "Ooh, he may put a down payment on this." They handed me the keys and the title, promise. I said, "This is mine?" He said, "Yes." "Mine?" He said, "Yes." And every 20 miles home, I wanted to get out and hug the front. Stuck a straw up my nose and sniffed the whole the whole dash off. It smelled good, that new leather and stuff. The next day I drove it onto the mill grounds, which you wasn't supposed to do. And I blocked the brake jack where they smelled like smoke. They couldn't hardly get out. They were over there trying to go. I said, "Hey, I'm not coming back." "Whose is that?" And I said, "Mine, and it's paid for." He did one after another thing like that. And I didn't withhold anything back. You know, nothing. And the way he moved for me just a little bit down the road from that and supplied everything, I just didn't know. I didn't know what to do. This is a worldly saying, but I'd have killed. And I'm just as excited today as I was then. I'd have killed. I'd have just killed to do this as a beggar. And you mean to tell me that you're going to bless me like this? I stopped over the tributary of the Willamette River, and there's a small bridge. I couldn't help it. I just stopped and raised my hands and just wept and wept and says, "I'd have killed to do this, and you're paying me for it." Am I in heaven already? Did I die or something? You can trust Him. It's just who you trust that with or to. That's part of your giving and things. You know, you who are you fellowshipping with, you know. He said you don't want to keep company. When he talked about sinners with sinners, they don't keep company with them. What he meant is don't go out with them and do the same things they're doing. You have to keep company and work on them and work with them, yes, but don't participate with them. See, this is what he was talking about. So from then on I knew that was just as important as anything else. And God looked on it just as holy as anything else. And so I watched where I released that power. Because He was holding me to do it. You know, I wasn't going to put another ring on some preacher's finger. He can do that himself. I want people. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, well, it's just a worship service to me. I get to give. Hear me? I get to.
Why?
Because I can. Bring your buckets, whatever they are, your trays, truck beds. Bring them out, and if He says anything to you or whatever, just do it. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, me and Bronco run up on the platform, and you can hug each other 5 or 6 times on the way back. You can tell people that hug before they get to the altar, dollar bills are stuck on their clothes. Are you having a good time already? I'm only exhorting. All right, Father, I thank You and I worship You and I glorify You for this privilege. This privilege, Father, we can actually step over into this and do this for You. What a privilege. And we praise You and glorify You for it. For we know on Your behalf all our needs are met. Testimony.
Hallelujah. Where did my sister go? Deanne, come up here. As many of you well know that go here to the prayer center, This is my sister. She sings in the worship team. Has been struggling tremendously with her back over the last two, but I'll let her testify. At times, it's been, from our part, I'm going to share our part just for a moment, then let her share. We would call and check on her, and I knew that she was basically immobilized and could not move in her house. And we would pray for her and have the church stand and pray for her. But something happened this week, and I'll let her share that. Something from God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Bronk called me up to be prayed for the Tuesday evening. And I felt a shift in my back when Brother Dave prayed for me. And this morning I was just up drinking coffee and just felt such an anointing in the room. Couldn't quit praying in tongues. The pain all left. And when my husband got home, I was fixing supper. And I had stood cleaning for almost an hour. And I said, I need you to see something. And he said, what? And I said, this. Without any pain whatsoever. And I haven't been able to even exercise or touch the floor for, oh, months and months and months. So, praise you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. That, to me, that's what life's made out of. Amen. You ask me, is there anything better? No. No. Hallelujah, Jesus. I called you guys out before, didn't I? No, it's you. Come out here. Huh? No. Was it both of you before? Come here. Abigail, fishing out here. Will you marry me? Now, wouldn't you have hated to miss that? Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, if you want to, you can open to Ephesians. You know, Ephesians 5. 12th verse is a good one, since you know I'm not taking it out of context. Hallelujah, Jesus. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wicked in high places. Now this is interesting. Because the 11th verse said, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against what? The wilds. The word wilds is militaristic plot, ploys, and schemes of diabol, he that penetrates. And then he listed the order from principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wicked in high places. He listed these in the order that they're in, and especially as counterfeits to the apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelists, miracles, healing, governments. One day he all of a sudden, I just slipped over into the spirit and I saw them both lined up and then the counterfeit lying. It went from one to the other. What things they were pitted against and what part they were substituting in. I'll just talk about the ruler of darkness for a minute. He reigns over a dark region. He stays there. He watches it. And if things get out of hand, he makes a report and they send the troops in. And then hell breaks out worse. We had one time we had 22 people just get up and leave. I mean, they just left in a couple of days out of the front rows and just left and couldn't give you a good reason, just enraged. And they all left saying the same thing. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong. And so I was just, I was in a state. I didn't understand all of it then. Weeping, kind of. And I was right in the middle of a step while praying. And I glanced over at the wall. The wall to my east. Glanced over against the wall and I saw this guy over there that was close to 7 foot. Now I know where religion gets their robes. He's wrapped up in a kind of a long thing like an army blanket with the tie. Then he had a hood and it overlapped his head in the front somewhat. I could see a large forehead, but the rest of the features were receded somewhat. And he's just standing there. Just standing there glaring over the crowd. Next thing that opened up was a cloud of devils. And they were just running all over the place saying, something is wrong here. Something is wrong here. They would create an atmosphere. See, and when it gets too close to revival, you get to praying too much. If he can't handle it, then he's the one that reports to the next in authority and they send somebody in that can. So he rules over the dark region of his domain. He's a ruler of darkness. So when I saw that there was some order to this thing, I thought, okay, now I know what to do. More than I ever had. And he showed me this early on. Now why do you suppose he'd be doing things like that? Because we unmasked them, unveiled them during prayer. Sometimes at the prayer center then, we had entire Saturdays. All day they'd come camp along the walls where their kids played and just pray in tongues and walk around Saturday all day long. And so praying the path of God, working His plan out ahead of us. There isn't any equipment or nothing that He won't show you. So from that time on, I knew when He showed up that I'd just take care of it. I'd say, I know you're here. Just get out. Get out now. And He did. The next class that came back to me was the sensationalism class that wanted me to. You guys are supposed to be barking and crowing and stuff while you're getting dusted with gold dust and rubies are falling here and there. You're supposed to be having that done by now. But it didn't work. So getting past that, then I finally made it to being able to handle the dose of the love of God that He poured out on me without taking it into some wrong direction. Jumping up and declaring extra things that love would do, like ultimate grace and the studies, just in-depth studies, how the Bible formed and came together to see, oh, there could be a lot of human element in that. I don't believe there was really hell or a place of suffering. And religion goes on and on and on because of the power of deception. The higher you get up in this legal system that they have, higher you get up, the more deception that they depend upon. One time I almost got whipped. It was by some people who didn't speak with tongues. And I said I could show them a masterpiece, a Picasso, painted by the greatest artist that ever lived. This art piece is a masterpiece in deception. Do you want to know what's on the picture? This is what it says.
Why don't we speak with tongues?
You have just seen a masterpiece painted by the devil himself. They wanted to whip me after that for some reason. I figured I was innocent. I asked them if they wanted to see a masterpiece like a Picasso painted of deception. Oh, we don't know. Then why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you praying in tongues? Oh, well, we don't believe that. It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what the Bible says. I picked up a little wisdom along the way and don't get whipped as much. Because indeed we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So he said that we did need to put on the armor, which is entirely a whole nother teaching. And I can tell already that I'm not going to get too far. I just wanted to revisit that we're wrestling against the militaristic plot, poison schemes of he who penetrates, and the tenacity and the planning that goes into defeat. So you wonder why so many moves have failed and disappeared, and why did the apostles' ministries fail and the dark ages appeared with that form of religion? Why? Because of the plans he's worked. If it didn't work on the first 100 years, he'd work at another. If it didn't work then, he'd work at another and another. Militaristic plot, ploys, and schemes. Patton studied his German part for tank warfare till he knew what he was going to do before he did. That's what he does. Militaristic plot, ploys, and schemes against Diablo, him whose determination is to penetrate. There was a horrible time in the world, even in the part where it originated, when the Dark Ages come in. And what they had for truth, you need to dig up. Some of them has done the research. There's some good films out there and some good books that take you through each century where these moves took place. And you can see how he works. Well, it took all of this and then praying in tongues to get them unlocked and available to me, and then even make me assimilate them, to know that I wasn't supposed to get past that stuff. And if I did, I was supposed to take the little bit of love that I knew and take it out of proportion and ruin that too. But that's not happening either, because of the foundation he's been able to lay on the mysteries and things that brought all this about. So I'm not going to go away, and I'm not going to stop. He's going to have a lot of trouble with me, and I don't care.
Hallelujah.
I don't care, see. We was having a talk today And it's you should have seen the questions these guys ask. I mean, they ask questions that were off the board, you know. And one of the questions was, is the time between changes of the source of salvation, like the cross when Jesus, you know, he went home, it was over. He had died, the price was paid, and the only way you can, like he told Nicodemus, now you must be born again. Well, how about people who was keeping the law and they were in isolation somewhere and nobody ever got to them, that it changed. And so they didn't hear that the redemption. So these overlaps, did they go because the law ceased? Did they go and didn't know that Jesus came and so couldn't have born again? Or these overlaps. And I said, I don't have all the answers there, but I do know this. Oh, one day we will. But what I do know that he's doing everything he can to save as much people as he can. See, that I know. And when I know that, it doesn't matter what people think. I can hold fast, very fast and strong in something I know. So when I know that he's doing everything, I'm free in him to eventually show me when he can what he's doing. See, and that makes me even more happier. Well, you say that he'll go after anybody he can? Yes. Just somebody begging. I have to know the true and the living God. Who is he? I've been on this island. Who is he? There was a policeman in Brazil. Retired. He just saw atrocities, murder. His life was just rubbish. He retired. He's laying on his bed crying out, "Are you real? Where are you? If you're real, would you reveal yourself to me?" All of a sudden, the radio come on by itself. It turned itself on. It was my program. He turned it off and it turned itself back on again. And every day at the program, it would turn itself on. He listened to enough of it that he called and got a hold of Anna Maria. And he got born again. It's right at the time the books come out in Portuguese. So we give him and his little granddaughter a book. And she took it home, opened it up, started reading it in Portuguese, but ended up getting filled while she was reading and ended up speaking in English as a tongue while she read Portuguese. She's about 8 years old. That's all nine. So then we put a prayer cloth in the book. That prayed over prayer cloth, and her grandma had been in a wheelchair for, I think she said, close to 19, 20 years. And she threw the cloth down on the grandma, and she got up and walked off. Did he find him? Did he find him? He found him. He found him and went and got him. There's another guy looking. He's just looking in our meeting coming. He goes, "I wonder what this is." And he tried to get in. They wouldn't let him in. Now, those days, they had registration if he wasn't registered because they didn't have any big places unless it was outside. So he's trying to get in and he couldn't get in. They were instructed, you know, you had to be on the list. And I didn't set it up. I just preached it. I went, checked in, preached. I don't know how they ran it. He's out trying to get in. So a guy come to deliver water, and when he wasn't looking, he grabbed a water jug, put it on his shoulder, and walked in. He was walking up the side of the church after he put the water down, looking, just looking, and it took a while for all that to take place. I think he was moving in the Spirit or something, but all of a sudden, power of God hits him and just knocks him down over there along the wall. So he gets up and he comes up. He gets born again and filled. So I'm thinking, wow, look at this guy that fell down along the side. He got saved and filled. I wonder who he was. Well, I never found out until 17 years later. Comes in when I'm sitting and waiting for to go out and take the meeting. Or possibly after. It's just sitting there comfortably. Do you remember me? I go, mm-mm. He says, I was the one that was going up in Belo Horizonte 17 years ago along the wall. And I kind of remember something like that. He said, do you know how I got in? I snuck a water off a water truck and went in. So because I got stopped, they wouldn't let me in. I said, you did? And he says, yeah. And then I was walking along the wall and something knocked me down. He says, I know what it is now. I said, yeah. And he said, besides that, Brother Roberson, he says, I've got 22 churches under me now, and they're all on this stuff. I said, oh God. He found him. See? He found him. Oh, and the love of God brings that peace and never fail. And my peace that I give unto you. And I'll tell you how it starts feeling when you turn somebody over. And you do it from the heart, which is the part you doubt not in. And so when I take somebody, much less them crying out to know the truth. When I take somebody and put their name down and hand it over to them and hands off. You know it's yours. And then later when I found out all the things that happened, what God orchestrated to go after these people would just fill a book with testimonies. He's not looking for reasons not to. He's looking for reasons to go and wanting to use every possible thing he can to go after him with. And when we give him that authority, which is pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, why does he want to hear from me? I didn't die for him. Why do I have to pray, Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers? The harvest is truly plenteous, the laborers are few. Why do I have to pray? Why don't he just take it initiative and do it himself? That's right. You're one that has authority. If you want to know the heaviest price that heaven's ever sustained and paid, the highest cost it ever sustained, was your right to sit there as a free will individual who's in charge of making your own decisions. Like I said, without that, it's another blank eternity. I don't want a robot to fellowship with. This may cost me highly in heaven. It may cost. I couldn't lie. It may cost, that whatever it costs, it has to be paid. Because I've got to know. You say, well, you're God. Yes, he is, and he's love. See, and he's loved us a long time. But he said, I've got to know. Well, just read their heart or something. Oh, sure. Read their heart and just run around and hang out with the ones that got a good report in there. So he says, I just got to know when you lift those hands up and you tell me you love me, you're not running on some program I created. You're running on life. That's the most costly thing I know of in our dispensation, that heaven ever sustained our right. If he's going to beat the daylights out of somebody that wasn't looking for help before he fell, beat the living daylights out of him, send him to hell for 5 minutes, bring him back, then ask him, do you still want to eat the apple? Besides, it wasn't the apple on the tree, it was the pear on the ground. Hallelujah. You got any idea what you're worth to Him? You have any idea how bad He wants people to be saved? And what He would do with money if love had it? See, if what He would do with your life, if you at sustained cost and you came to Him on that, how He could use what you was handed Him with all that authority and power. This is my home. God, I want to give you a list of people. You take your army and go after them. I'm glad to give you the list. He will. He's got a license to track them down with 99.5% results. After a while, every time you turn around, you're running into God again. After a while, you surrender. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, are we going to understand that overlap one day? Yes, we are. Because first of all, I know who He is and I know what He is. And I know He has a plan for that too. And I know it's working right now. And I know He's absolute judgment as one of the 10 essences that God is. Is absolute judgment. That's Him. He is judgment, and the derivatives is just, and judge. He's absolute judgment. Justice. When you get to heaven, you're going to find out that no judgment that He ever rendered ever was not just. You're going to find that out. And not only are you going to find it out, you're going to understand it. So, now I can see. Well, I don't want to wait till I get there to find out His absolute judgment. I want to see now. I want to see, you know, how to turn more loose. And I do know the more we turn loose, the more Satan's war machine shifts in our direction. But can you hear me?
I don't care.
Why? Because I believe what He said about that too. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. In fact, I have to hold myself back when I'm casting the devil out from just tormenting him. Just tormenting him on purpose. Was casting the devil out of one woman. I said, come out. Come out, devil. And I wasn't too far into it in those days. You know, fight with it, yell at it. I said, come out. Try to make more authority in your voice. I said, come out. It's not your voice that made him come. It's when the Holy Ghost showed up. I said, come out.
And he says, I will not come out.
I said, you don't have a choice. I didn't ask. I said, get out. Come out.
And I will not come out.
I said, yes, you will.
I will not come out. He says, this is my woman.
Your woman? You're a devil.
He said, well, Satan, give her to me.
Oh, what a... I don't know if he's trying to get me to laugh or what, you know, but... He was screaming a little while after that and coming out. But what can we say? Atos gracias. Azonda la amo corapes esia. Dande sclefo mando. E kirida alo ma uis kereci. Nasea dume. One of God's greatest joys is His fellowshipping with you and interacting with you instead of just sitting in a starched position and doing and hearing what you told and without my participation and me being free. And the meeting is called for me to move about as I can according to your needs and to bring whatever is necessary when I need to minister to you. I delight in these things. And for this reason I can say what I'm saying about your future, which is not as far off as you're thinking in your mind. It is nearer. That this love that's coming to a maturity, you're going to see it do things and understand things that you've never understood before, because I was unable to operate in that capacity before in these sessions that has emerged from the dark ages. For this is also the greatest times of not only me loving you, but my time is coming for the fellowship I desire with you through that love. So I'm well pleased with the way that you're yielding yourself to me. You're turning me loose and giving me what I need to do something in your region, saith the Lord. Okay. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. The things that I desire to do and cannot. I cannot, for I must hold to my part. But when things are finished, there's more freedom than imaginable. And even in the walk that you have right now, that I've left you here for a reason. Even here, operating out of the new nature that I give you, you have no idea what things are possible to you who know how to turn themselves over and not stop until you have arrived at what I have for you that makes the difference. That when you're praying in the Spirit, you're untying my hands to do things for you that you don't even know about at the time, but will end up in the edification for my overall plan for every single one of you. For I've already disclosed this information that in these last days there'll be a great revival of media. And the reason it'll be a great revival of media is because it will carry the fullness of my power to every delivery point, every front room, everywhere that I'm free to speak the truth. You'll see emerging forward that many, many signs and wonders are going to be done as people listen to media and cooperate and do what is taught. Hoskorancha hoske dolobehasian chobateka doneskisi. In other words, yes sir, it's a strong media and a source of information, and people are being taught by it all the time. But he wants to bring the fullness of his power through there to back all the word up. Like a room full of wheelchairs listening to it, and they all jump up and say, "Hey, when he said we were healed, we were." And what are they going to do to their community? What do you think prayer claws were? They took the body off of his body, Paul, and aprons, and then he prayed, and it was Paul's life that opened heaven. His walk with God opened heaven, so heaven was open, and he took the cloth. Then he had a media connected to it. People carried him into Asia Minor, would lay him on the sick, and when they'd jump up healed, they'd say, "Lord Jesus is the one that healed you." And they'd get him born again. But the thing is, Paul opened heaven. The person was the media. They was telling them who was saving them. But it was the prayer that Paul prayed that got that power to that place, that strong. Hallelujah, Jesus. I found that prayer claws were a media. They carried his power. And now, hey, can you imagine a whole bunch of people sitting in front of a giant screen? And one of the family members runs in just on the part, turns it over, and everybody's in there that's sick. Can you imagine what would happen if all of them got healed? I mean, healed of something major. He's wanting to do things like that. It's happened at scarce times here and there. You'll hear about something, but not floods and floods of it with a fullness of God being poured out according to the love He has had in waiting for so long, wanting us to receive it and receive it right. Oh, come, John. There's so much I desire to teach you. But as you're taught, you will be taught. You'll learn. For the things that you need to understand, the things I would say to you are being processed and received right now. This is the generation, and this is, gosh, that's strong, one of my places. One of my places. Never heard things quite like this before. Okay, I see that. And the reason that the movement will be forward again is as why I said to you before that I have been waiting for the opportunity. And finally, my love is being deceived. It's being the source that'll stop being deceived. Stop being deceived. Rather than one of the courses that's caused people to be deceived. For they believing themselves to be displaying my love. They were using and misusing things in my name as if I had said them. But when the real comes, which it has already begun, you'll see it'll be my love. And it'll operate in such a way that you'll understand with the things you've already known through edification. So be strong and move forward because the heart is getting equipped with the mountain moving faith. I was used to interpreting a certain way, but never in so much detail. Where so much of His power had been abused, and even the foremost and most powerful workings of my miracles has been abused. For most will turn it into a vehicle to satisfy their desires after a certain amount of time. But know this, when you couple those mighty signs and wonders and the fullness of the workings of miracles with my love and my compassion, nor will you burn out, nor will you fall into the trap of mammon. For you'll see the resident most powerful presence will be my compassion. I think some of this was for me too. I'm the teacher here for you too. So. I don't know how far we are from that. But I knew the major difficulty before these last 3 months for me was really getting in the door. And I could tell when things changed. It took him a while to explain to me what had happened. But I understand it now, and I'm ready to do two things, take another step forward, lay on hold on media like I haven't before. So I'm going to do something else. Would you extend your hand towards me? Please. Please. I welcome your prayers, and any time you would offer yourself as an intercessor to be alerted. And you would go right into prayer for me up on alert. Because I'm stepping into some of the most dangerous ground that's ever been walked in probably 2,000 years almost. And I'm not speaking that to say, oh, who do you think you... It's just something I know now. And so I know not to be stupid. So will you offer yourself to him to be alerted, and any time that he can tell you that if you need to stop and pray a little bit, that you will. Hallelujah. So why don't you just warm yourself up and speak a little bit of blessing in my direction. I'm not afraid. I'm not a bit afraid. It would break my heart. It would break my heart to fail him. So I am not going to. I am not afraid. I know what's over there, and I don't care. Haskarasa. So, Hesomato Kadasa. Hallelujah. So will I be stupid and not use things he tells me to use? No, I won't. So pray. Whose service is this? Yours or mine? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. I praise you and magnify you and love you. And I exalt, extol you, and lift you up with all my heart. I thank you. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I can pull myself together. Alan didn't, he would, but he didn't come this time because he knew that Bronk was like him. Because he knows that I've been walking in a little bit more dangerous place. And he knows what can happen because he's been there. And so he felt really good about not coming on this one when it was Bronk. So, it's what I'm telling you is what's happening there. And the devil's not happy. And just entering into this part will be probably the most I'll say about him, except when I'm exposing him. And then it's legal. But you just talk about him in an exalted way. No, thank you. But what I am saying is his most deceptive. Okay. That his most powerful weapon has been up to this point, deception. He's been able every dark century to send more to hell with that than anything. And he'd go crazy. He'd go crazy almost before he'll let that be taken away. and any fullness, even after the millennial. Chained 1,000 years, he come back and fought. So I'm not going to be surprised. I'm not now. Or what he's capable of. And I know he can't afford to let his love fill everything out. Filled up. He can't. Now try to put 2 and 2 together. See if you think he's got anything in his mind. Now I understand more him sending that guy after me in Brazil. I couldn't. Is that all you got? Okay. Hallelujah. It's left hand. Thank you, people. I'm not stopping. I just want to thank you. Well, I'm glad this happened here or home. Here or at our prayer center. I'm glad. Hallelujah, Jesus. So now when I leave, it'll take the devil a while to find me and he'll be here. Now, Satan's not the one after me, you know. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. He works around power seats. He has to make sure the presidents do the wrong things. War keeps religion out, you know. In. He doesn't got time for a peasant unless you give him absolute worldwide defeat. You may get visited. Well, you're talking an awful lot about us because I'm not ignorant of his devices. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, sir. Actually, through this part, I was waiting to see if he's going to say anything to me, like that one's sick and this one's not. This one's a sailor and can tie a knot. This one's a farmer and he feeds pigs his slop. I'll stop. I feel a little too good. Everybody was healed of anything physically. Stand up where you're at in these meetings since Sunday. Hallelujah. Stay standing just for a minute. We'd want to just look at you and rekindle muska and rejoice. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't mind me. I'm just so happy. I waited all my life for this. Yes, all my life. Thank you. It looks like it'll be a teeth night tomorrow night. Just chew on that all day tomorrow. Hallelujah. But meanwhile, if you have a prayer request, you need something, then why don't you stand up and I'll add myself with you in prayer again, like we did the other day. So just stand up where you're at's fine. Where you're at's fine right now. It's just something you need Him to do, a prayer you need to answer. You tell Him, because I know now that I know that it'll be the right kind that He can answer. And I know how to add myself to it. Father, this thing they're holding up before You now, I'm bringing myself into agreement with them. Just like to come and pray in agreement for a disease to leave or a pain to go. This thing's going to get some attention. It can't stay the same because we're leaving it with You. Oh, so Father, in Jesus' name, we're turning this over to You. To whatever in each situation needs to be done, make it so. In Jesus' name. And we give You the praise, honor, and the glory for it. It is done. Hey, if you're about to cry, I sure wouldn't hold that back, people. I wouldn't. This week has been different for me. It's like tonight. I've never had Him minister to me so much. So I'm leaving here a happy camper. Having received something myself. So tomorrow He'll have done a great week. Something tremendous going on there. It's been my pleasure serving You again. See you tomorrow.